Open your Bibles, if you would, this evening to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Going to look at a couple things, but want to mention while you're turning, this chapter deals with the separation of the order of priest after Melchizedek and the order of high priest after the order of Aaron. And the Bible says, and it said that Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. And we're not going to spend a lot of time with this, but basically what it means, as we read this, you'll see and understand. Melchizedek was chosen of God. He wasn't there because of the lineage. To be a high priest under the Aaron, under law, you had to show a pedigree that you were of the tribe of Levi. You had to be able to be traced back to the tribe of Levi to do that. But the king of Salem that Abraham met, called Melchizedek, it doesn't tell us who his mother was, who his father was, what his lineage was. He was just ordained by God to be a high priest. Jesus was that high priest, like the order of Melchizedek. It's because Jesus did not come from the lineage of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. And he has been given his position because God ordained it to be so. After he became a high priest, there is not another need for another high priest. What the high priest of the Aaron priesthood did was just shadows and temporary things showing, pointing to Jesus when he would come. Melchizedek also was a type and similitude of Jesus when he was to come. Jesus is the only high priest. Amen. A high priest is what brings you to God and connects you to God. And what was brought to the blood offering once a year of atonement, and would allow atonement to be made by the blood between a sinner and God. Some people say, well, we need priests today, but the truth is we are all priests. Priests in the service of God. We do not need priests that we call fathers that we confess to. We have a high priest that we confess to. We only have one. Verse number 11, chapter 7, begin reading if you would. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise up after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, David wrote that over in Psalms. And the Bible says also in verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety, and by the way, that word surety means a guarantee of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, in Aaron's priesthood, they had to have high priest after high priest after high priest after high priest because the high priest would die. As a matter of fact, the other day when we was preaching upon the city of refuge, you could go in there, and when the high priest died, you could come out. You would be a free man. In verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of an oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forever. Now, let me say just a couple things and get into a truth or two that will help you. Very simple tonight, what we want to bring out. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. Let me say something about the Word of God. Words are what we communicate with. Words mean something. I remember whenever we were being challenged here in the county with the occupational tax. The occupational tax ordinance that we had, we went before the city and county government, we went before the state, and we even went before Washington, and we testified on behalf of it. It was a license fee. They didn't call it a tax because it was illegal. They called it a license fee. My argument was to them was this: words has meaning. When you have a word that says license, it means that they can grant you the privilege and take away your privilege. Now, you guys turning 16, you'll figure that out. Caleb and Cody turned 16 today. Let me give you guys a little word of advice. If you're lucky enough to get a license and they grant you a license, it's a privilege. The same people that grant you the license can take it away from you. So beware of how you handle the privilege of license. Words mean something. The Bible is full of words. God chose to communicate to us by words. And in the Word, we have three things that helps us. We are all different levels. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different educational levels. We come from different academic levels. We come from different spiritual levels. But to get into the Word of God and understand words, you need three things. One, you need to be saved. Amen. To fully understand the Word of God, the Bible says, it's foolish to a natural man. He cannot spiritually discern the things of the Spirit. And the Word of God is full of things of God that a natural man does not have the ability to fully comprehend. And so therefore, the words go so far with him, but they stop. And they don't enter into the heart. Then you have to have the Holy Ghost. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that when we have the Holy Ghost, we have need that no man teaches us. But we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. Then we have third thing. And Paul told to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to know more about the Bible, you got to study. When you study it and you have the right ingredients of being saved and you have the Holy Ghost and you study the word of God will show you things. It'll give you nuggets. It'll open up and enlighten you on things as you study it. And you'll be able to rightfully divide the word of truth. The trouble with so many people today, they go into own time, they go into the Bible to prove their own point. And they go into it with a preconceived idea, and they don't go into it to learn anything. And therefore, they come out with the same preconceived idea they went into it with. But what you do is you open yourself up, say, Lord, show me a truth. And let me see a truth. And so words mean something. And so here, as God begins to show us, I want us to look in verse number 25, and I want us to look at a few words. The words are very important. Chris was trying to share with a friend of ours this week how to be saved. And she wanted to tell her certain things, and she made this statement. She said she was talking about trying to find a church where she lived. And she said, you need to find one that teaches eternal salvation. Notice first of all, in verse 25, let me separate and pull out a few words. Notice the word save. You know what the word save means? The word save means that you have been rescued. I used to be trained in rescue. I was a rescue diver. I was a mountain rescue. I could rappel over. I could bring people up. I could even bring a car up the side of a cliff with ropes and pulleys. I could dive down into water and try to find people and so forth. And there's different times that in my job over the 25 years, I was able to actually save someone, rescue them from dying. Now, I know God had the issues of death are in his hands, but it's through the ability that we had that we were able to save someone. And so here, God uses the same thing. There's times when I have pulled people out of the lake. There's times when I went into burning houses and I brought people out of the burning houses. There's times when one time I brought a woman that was in sub-zero weather, hypothermia, and the coroner had already pronounced her dead, and she was on her way to the funeral home. And we began to work with her and take her to the hospital, and she was saved. Otherwise, if we hadn't intervened and saved her, she would have been embalmed, and she would have been dead. Sounds kind of gruesome, doesn't it? But this word saved is the same thing. It's God rescuing you from impending death. Amen. Now listen to me. I've touched on this the other day, but I want to touch on a little bit more right now. To be saved, you are not saved if I take you out of one danger and put you over here in another danger. Or if I say I'm going to save you from the water and I pull you out of the water and I save you from drowning, then I shove you back in. That's not saving you. And when he saves you from hell, you never have a possibility of going there again. Amen. He rescues you from death and hell. And therefore, you are saved. Now, different people have different levels of spirituality. And we hear that word saved all the time, thrown around in the church. But it means to be rescued from death and hell permanently. God doesn't rescue you. You're not rescued if you turn around and go right back into the same problem that you come out of. You just temporarily was helped. And so therefore, if I took you out of a burning house and I saved you from burning, then I took you back in there and laid you in a burning house and you burn up, what did it do you any good? I didn't save you. And so God doesn't save you unless he rescues you from hell and from death. So when you get saved, you get rescued. That's what God does. Notice what else. Also, if you notice in that verse, in verse 25, wherefore what? He. Words are important. Every word that God gave us, he gave us for a reason. That he is very important. There's only one person that can rescue you. It's he. To look back and see who he is, just look back a couple verses and it's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that we have. Amen. Somebody said, well, you Baptists are narrow-minded. You can call us whatever you want to, but the Bible says there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to be saved, you got to go through he. If you don't have He, you can't be saved. Only He can do it.
Amen.
And why? Because He was a Son of God. Why? Because He is the only one that lived a sinless life. Why? He was accepted as a substitute for mine and your sins. And when He died upon the cross of Calvary, He offered of Himself, as He says right here, when He offered Himself, God accepted Him. And so therefore, when you come to God, only He can save you. Somebody said, well, preacher, how much do I have to know about being saved? You have to know about He. If you know about Jesus, then you can understand. Now, know something else. Next word, and by the way, the church can't save you. I can't save you. Somebody said, well, I come to preacher and he prayed for me. That's great, but I tell you something, I can't save you. Only He saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Look what else. The Bible says, wherefore He, what? Is. Notice how the word is. Now, all you English scholars, especially some of you that go over here, I know, is present tense. He's capable of doing it right now. He is. Wherefore, He is. Present tense. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, I'm going to do it one of these days. Well, it might not be the time, and you might not be able to be saved. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is when you get saved, because right now, as it is, He is able to do it. Now, it might be that the Spirit quits drawing. It might be that He comes back. It might be that you die and go out into eternity. And so today, if you hear His voice, He is able to save you. Now, notice that little word is. And so therefore, what it tells us when we look at this word, it means that it's possible through Him to come to Him, and He is able to do it. Now, also notice the word able. The word able means that He has the power and ability to perform it. Now, sometimes you see that word power in the Bible, and the word power is where dynamite comes from. It's a word that means that He is able to just take and make a new creature out of you. Amen. Through them old sins and ragged sins. He is able. He is capable. He has the ability. Can I tell you something? There's not a person here that can save you. Only He can. You can't get saved by saying, well, I went to mom or I went to dad and they saved me. Sometimes I've had people come. One time I had a guy come through here, I told you that. He was a drug addict, and he come through here, and he was all wasted, and he told me, he said, he come through, was shaking hands that morning. He said, I came for you to save me. I thought he meant he wanted to be saved. I told him, wait till after church, and when I talked to him, he said, I'm full of demons, and the demons told me to come here, and you can save me. I said, friend, I can't save you. There's only one that can save you. I got telling about Jesus, and he wanted to go home. And I took him out to Antioch Shores and dropped him off out there at his house. Scary. He was a scary situation because he was a scary guy. But he wanted to know nothing about Jesus. And I told him, when he got out of the car, I said, I just want you to know something. Me or nobody else can ever save you. Only Jesus can save you. Also, the Bible says, wherefore He is able. Notice what it says. He is able to save them to the what? Uttermost. Uttermost means completely. It means that He utterly saves you, perfectly saves you. That you have been saved from your sin. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand how God can save me from my past, present, and future sins. You are saved to the uttermost. Completely. Why? Because He is able to do it. You say, how? I don't know how. I can tell you when, I can tell you where, but I can't tell you why, and I can't tell you how, like that old song says. But I'll tell you this, he is able to do it. He said he done it, and he said, I'm saved, and he promised me if I would come to him, if I'd call upon him, I shall be saved. If I believe upon him, I shall be saved. And my friend, I did that. And so for when I came to him, he has saved me. Past, present, future. He saved me from the power of sin. He saved me also one of these days that I'll go to a place where I'm saved from the presence of sin. But I am saved to the uttermost. There is nothing, once I've been saved, there is nothing in my life, there is nothing in this world that can get me unsaved. I am completely saved. Somebody said, well, preacher, I think if you did this and you did that, you would lose your salvation. If that's the case, then you had to do something to get your salvation. You're saved not because of what you did, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be saved by doing something. Therefore, you can't be unsaved by doing something. You were saved because of what he did. And when you came to him, he saved you to the uttermost. Now notice this, one more word, and I'll close. Look real careful. The Bible says, or let me give you two words real quickly. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, that's Jesus, seeing he, that's Jesus, ever what? Liveth. Not another religion that claims to have somebody else has a living Savior. He lives, and because he lives, that means right now if you come to him, he'll save you. Right now. He has ability right now. He, present tense, can save you because he is living. When you call upon him, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. When you call upon him, you believe upon him, he'll save your soul. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't know. I just don't know how much I've got to know. What you have to do is have faith. Have to come. Last but not least, look this. He says, he ever liveth. In other words, if you remember the context of what we read, the Bible says the priesthood of Aaron had to die and die and die and die. But he lives forever. Therefore, when he makes a commitment for you, it's forever. Now look here. The last word I want to show you, because words have meaning, it says he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Now, intercession, it goes before God for us. But I want you to notice this word. The last word. What's the last word? Jesus died for everybody. But only them is going to be saved. Them are those that come to Jesus by him. If you don't come to Jesus by him, if you don't come to God by him, by Jesus, you can't be saved. The Bible says that there is a wide, broad road. As a matter of fact, that picture back there in the corner, it depicts Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, that there's a wide, broad road that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. And there's a straight, narrow a road that leadeth to life eternal. And few there be that find it. And if you notice, there'll be few crossing, walking across that cross. There'll be many going down into the pits of hell. And the reason why is, it's only to them. Them that come to God by Jesus. Can I ask you this tonight before we close? Very simple tonight. Words, words, words have meanings. Are you one of them? Are you saved? Have you come to God by Jesus? Have you recognized that Jesus died for your sins? Have you come calling upon him to save your soul? He is presently able, but you must come to him. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God, but those that
I believe that he is. That those that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You come, he'll give you something. But you must be willing to come to him. Maybe tonight you're here and you're not one of them. And you need to come. The Spirit of God is dealing, it's drawing, it's pleading for you to be saved. You need to come. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you are saved. And you just need to be thankful to God that you have that intercessor that goes to God on your behalf on each and everything. And be thankful that it's not by your works, but it's by your faith in him.
Amen.
That it saved your soul.
Amen.